Good afternoon. Welcome everyone to the Boskalis USPP investor call covering the 2019 full year results. On the line here with me, myself, Martin Schütteberg, but obviously Carlo van Noort here sitting opposite the table, 1.5 meters away from me. That is the corona distance which we are having here in the Netherlands. And at the other end of the table, we have Frank Rousseau and dialing in Karl Heinz from the Treasury Department as well. The call in terms of what we'll be doing, I think somewhat similar to our normal approach. Firstly, thank you very much everyone for your flexibility for and your understanding for moving the initial call, which we had intended to do shortly after we released our full year numbers early March, but that was obviously just when the corona outbreak, certainly here in Europe, was having large implications, and from a business perspective, we were also trying to get to grips with working at distance from home and seeing how the impact of corona was going to impact the business. More on that later. First of all, I also hope everyone is healthy on the other side of the line here at Boskalis. You know, we've been on top of things from day one. You know, I can speak for certainly the board here. We're keeping healthy. It's nice weather outside spring-wise. It doesn't feel like there's a crisis, and obviously if you read the newspapers and look at the business, it's quite different. Then in terms of the call itself, it's being recorded. We will be providing a replay afterwards. We'll be sending that in the course of the week to everyone who is on the line and who was not able to participate. Normal drill, first part of the call will be in listen-only mode. Second part, we'll be going into the Q&A where the operator will assist. And if you could just state the organization name and your own name prior to putting the question to the team, that would be most appreciated. With that, Carlo, I'd like to hand over to you. I hope everyone received the presentation, the PDF document. Some people had difficulties, I think, with firewalls, but I hope everyone's got it. And otherwise, we can also have another shot afterwards if you did not get it. Carlo, go ahead.
Hello. Good day to you all. As already said, we live in unprecedented times and circumstances, so I do not want to dwell a long story on 2019. Of course, we will go through it, but I will only discuss the highlights of this presentation. If later on there are specific questions on 2019, you can of course ask in the Q&A. We have added some slides on, of course, COVID-19 and the current circumstances. We can talk about that later on, and also if there are Q&As on that, we can discuss them at that time. Starting with the results, the highlights on page 3 and 4. I will use page 3 for that. So a revenue of 2.6 billion, somewhat higher than in 2018, especially very busy in the Middle East and especially also in Asia. Some big project in Singapore, which brings the revenue up to 2.6 billion. After a quite a weak H1, we had quite a strong H2, which is also reflected in our EBITDA. So an EBITDA above the 2018 level, we ended up with 376 million of EBITDA. Net profit of 75, if you compare that with 2018, excluding the impairment included in that number, you have to compare it with 83, so somewhat lower. The 2019 number included some extraordinary income, which are highlighted later on in these slides, but altogether 82 of extraordinary income items. Order book record high, 4.7 billion, compared to end of 2018, 4.3 billion. End of the year, a net cash financial position of 26 million, compared to a net debt of 131 million end of 2018. Then I will go to slide 5, USPP covenants. So if we take the contract criteria measuring that, net debt over EBITDA 0.2, so well below 3, the max. ICR 19, so well above the minimum of 4, so all quite good. Then going to slide six, revenue by region. As already said, quite a stable view per region, but especially Asia up from 336 to 434. Especially, as already said, some big Singapore projects going on, which boosted the revenue in 2019. Going then to page seven, the record order book. Then you see the segmentation between the segments. Dredging & Inland Infra up to 3.2 billion compared to last year, 3 billion. Offshore Energy also up to 1.5 billion compared to 1.3 billion last year, 2018. On page eight, we have included now the timing, the phasing of the order book. I believe especially important in these special circumstances like this year, we see that we have a good order book also for this year, for 2020. At the end of 2019, we are already 2.1 billion in hand. If you reflect that to the 2019 revenue, so around 80% of revenue in hand. Of course, still with a long tail also going into later years. I'm already at page slide 10, revenue EBITDA per segment. You see the segmentation here for revenue and EBITDA. I believe the revenue all has been highlighted, so you see the revenue up in Dredging & Inland Infra, and as said, especially in Asia, the revenue was up. EBITDA is, I believe, a bit more important here because there you see the reflection of the first weak half year in Offshore Energy. Of course, we had a strong second year, but we're of course still for the full year below the 2018 level. Offshore Energy with 47 compared to the 111 in 2018. In the holding and elimination, you see the extraordinary income reflected. There is 82 million of extraordinary income ending up in the EBITDA of 376. The rest is rather stable and salvage, which is in towage and salvage, quite good, which is also the reason that it is up against 2018. Going into a deeper dive in Dredging & Inland Infra, only mentioning the highlights. Quite a stable EBITDA. A strong order inflow, so a strong order book also for the future with quite some big order intakes in 2019, especially the second half year. Just to highlight one, the Manila Bay development, which is a very important one for our utilization of our hoppers, which was in our order book since Q4 2019. Dredging fleet utilization on slide 13. For us, of course, always a very important KPI. 2018 hopper utilization was 32 weeks below 2018. However, still well above the industry average of 28. Cutter utilization quite high in 2019, especially due to the project in the Middle East. One of them was the Duqm Port development, which was very important for one of our new cutters. Quite good in 2019. Going then to Offshore Energy, slide 15. Revenue stable, as already said, and maybe important to mention here is the split between revenues and renewables and non-renewables. You see here that the renewable is already 40% of our revenue, and especially for Boskalis, that is wind related. I believe most have already been highlighted here, revenue quite similar than to 2018, and the EBITDA level down, which was impacted by the first half year with some projects with losses, which I believe I mentioned also in the H1 call. More or less, the rest has already been discussed. Order book also here on slide 16. Some projects are mentioned here. Just to highlight one important one is the Shangfang-Xidao project in Taiwan. For us, a very important wind project also outside of Europe. So the first big wind project outside of Europe. We are going to install 62 jackets in this wind project in the coming 2 years. Very important project win for us. Then going to salvage and salvage. quite a good year 2019, especially salvage. You have to know here, with looking at the numbers, that we of course sold two salvage joint ventures. So those are not included anymore in the numbers in 2019. But we had a very good salvage year with quite some beneficial salvage loft projects, which is also reflected in the numbers here. Then on page 19, we always include the overall, the 100% Towage financials. And here, as we sold the Sam Smith Towage joint venture and the Kotok Smith Towage joint venture, this is mainly the Lamalco remaining joint venture. Also here you see the increase in the order book with quite some sizable long-term projects included now. Holding and eliminations, I believe the most important thing was already mentioned. So the EBITDA includes the 82 million of extraordinary items, which more or less consists of three items. That is the sales of the tower joint ventures, so there's a book gain in there, and also we sold a vessel, which is also included in the 82. Later on, in the next slide, you see the details of that. So 30 million book profit for Kotex Smith Towage, 42 for Sam Smith Towage, and then the book gain on the sale of the vessel. Then we go to slide 23, the balance sheet. I believe very important in these times of COVID-19. So a lot of focus on this also, to have a strong balance sheet, but more important, of course, to have a strong cash position. I believe here you see that we also, at the end of the year, is a very strong balance position with a solvency rate of 54. So with a group equity of 2.5 on a total balance of 4.6. Of course, also supported by an improvement in working capital and of course the net financial position ending up at a net cash position of 26. At the moment, more or less, the position is the same. So we still have a very strong balance sheet, which was also communicated recently by our CEO, Peter Budowski, also as a reaction on the COVID events. So I believe at the moment the balance sheet is more or less also a reflection of the balance sheet as per the end of 2019. So still in a very strong position. Next slide, you see the CAPEX from 2019. So in about 250 of CAPEX, so including disposals, a net CAPEX of 228. Then the cash flow on slide 25, significantly improved. So we ended up in the end with a net cash of 26, so improvement of 157 for the total year. Just to highlight some of them on this slide. I believe an important one was, of course, the improvement in working capital. So we brought a lot of focus on working capital in 2019 with all our business units, which is reflected in here. Of course, very important is the 291, divestment of the two tower joint ventures. Certainly in these times, reflecting on the multiples we sold these joint ventures, we are quite happy with those cash inflow in 2019. So yeah, I believe this is in sum the reason for the good net cash position at the end of the year. For completeness, on page 26, so the impact of IFRS 16 leases, I believe the impact for Boskalis is quite minor. But for the increase in asset liabilities on about 100 million, and the impact on EBITDA, 23.8 million increase in depreciation, so on EBITDA also, and 1.2 million on net profit. Then going to slide 27, main financing facilities and covenants. The situation with the facilities as per now, so of course, the USPP term loan, fully drawn, and then the RCF, we have now drawn 200 million. But at the same time, we have a very high cash position. We have drawn this 200 million more or less in the first weeks of COVID-19, and when the impact with the lockdown started to begin. We believe for prudence reasons to draw 200 million to create some extra cash, as we were at that time unknown with the impact of COVID-19 on banking liquidity, and what have you. So, this goes together, this position with a cash position of, at the moment, around 550 million, which is also reflected later on in the slides. So 200 million of the total of 500 million is now drawn. Covenants have already been highlighted. Yeah, then going to slide 29. We presented this the 5th of March, which now seems a long time ago when you read those bullets. How things can change in just not even 2 months of time. So maybe just go then one by one, and I will slightly comment on that. But the pre-COVID-19 outlook that was communicated was that the market outlook 2020 was better than the outlook 12 months earlier. Now, I believe it's quite obvious that we look at this at the moment in a different way, because the world has changed significantly since 2 months. So, yeah, that's that. No crystal ball on what will happen in the midterm, long term, and we will present the measures we have taken in the next slide. Dredging, stable volume, stable margin. As already said, the order portfolio for 2020 was already well filled, so I believe this is still valid as stable volumes and stable margin because it's already in hand. Offshore energy, gradual market recovery, and of course, oil and gas, a lot has happened in the recent several weeks, so very difficult to comment on that. But gradual recovery is, I believe, yeah, that comment cannot be made at the moment with any certainty. Towage, business stable, as this is mainly terminal business. These are long-term contracts already in hand, so it's quite stable. Now, earnings guidance, it's still much too early to provide guidance, I believe, at this moment. I believe this needs no further explanation. CapEx, that was communicated, was 400 million. We already communicated also that we have reduced that CapEx to around 200 million, and reason, of course, COVID-19 uncertainties. Then shortly going into COVID-19 impact and measures. Yeah, of course, number one priority is the health and safety of our employees and the people working for us, so also contractors, et cetera. So this gets all the attention at the moment. Of course, also in the Netherlands, where our head office is here in Papendrecht, we have six buildings, or six buildings are here in this campus, where normally all around 2,000 people are working in at the moment, max per day there are only 100 people. So all the people working now from all the departments from home, which with current technology is workable and doable. So far so good. International projects, except for some minor projects that were or minor issues in Europe, for instance in France, but no big hit by the lockdowns. However, with the crew changes, of course, where we have to fly in and fly out crews, this is a big challenge. Until now, the most project, the crew that were already on the project are still there. Later crew changes when possible, and we have to see also in the coming weeks, months, how this will work. It will also ask for a lot of creativity and project by project solutions. Impact of shutdowns around the world limited so far. That's good. Financial measures, of course, full focus on cash. As said, we draw an extra 200 million just for prudency reasons. At the moment, if you look at our cash position, it looks quite good. We are quite happy with that. We, of course, also took several measures surrounding that. It's a reduction of CapEx and OpEx. A lot of non-essential costs were reduced also for the rest of the year. CapEx was reduced, that was already mentioned there, for 400, that was planned to 200 at the moment. We suspended the share buyback program, and no dividend will be paid at the upcoming AGM. Current financial position on next slide, I believe a very important slide for the USPP participants. We have been able to put in place a new RCF with improved terms, and I believe in these challenging circumstances, quite a good job. That is an RCF, a five-year RCF, until 2025, with two options, one by one. It is a 5+1+1, so we can extend up to 7 years at the lender's discretion, of course. With an accordion option of 150 million, no EBITDA guarantor cover test anymore, so that's excluded in the new arrangement. As already mentioned, group cash at the moment, very important in these times. Our cash position is 550 million of cash, non-restricted. Net cash position around 40 million at the moment. The total financial capacity at the moment, so free cash plus the headroom, is around 850 million, which again is quite important in these challenging circumstances. This was the last slide.
Thank you, Carlo. And with that, operator, I'd like to request you to open the lines for the Q&A.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be taken by an operator. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A session. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please star and one if you wish to ask a question. We already have a few questions. I'm just waiting for the names. One second, please. While we are waiting for the first names to be taken, may I remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Thank you for waiting. And the first question comes from Cécile Michel. Please ask your question. Your line is now open.
Hello, thank you very much for the presentation. It was very useful, especially to have more information on the liquidity situation. I have a couple of questions. The first one would be regarding the recent acquisition announced last week. I think from memory, it's on the salvage division. Can you please provide a bit more information on that and what's the acquisition price and the impact on the liquidity and the metrics of the company? Thank you.
We did not disclose any financials, but it is a minor M&A activity. For us, it's strategically very important. Ardent is an important player in the U.S., has quite some OPA 90 customers in their portfolio. So more or less we bought a client portfolio. But if you look at asset and people, it's just a couple of guys and no assets. So you buy a strategic market share in the U.S. market, but it is a minor investment. But again, it's strategically very important for us.
Okay. And my second question is on the order book update as of today. And have you seen what's the cancellation rate? Because if I understand correctly, the order book is can be canceled at any time by client. Have you seen an increase in cancellation rate? And what visibility do you think the order book provides for the performance of the company for the rest of the year?
Until now, no major impact from cancellations, or actually none. No significant cancellations. Of course, you see some delays of projects, but also not major at the moment. But as said, this is the situation at this moment. And I also have a crystal ball, and I cannot see what will happen in the coming weeks or months. But until now, stability is good, is hard, and no big impact on the order portfolio as it stands at this moment.
Okay. I have two other very brief questions. Do you expect at this stage to have any covenant breach in 2020? And can you please provide us with an update on if you are trying to access some government liquidity schemes in case the liquidity becomes stretched on the company side? Thank you.
Starting with your second question, as you probably know or not, but it also in the Netherlands there are quite some fiscal measures taken and subsidies that were given for companies in distress. However, at this moment we do not make use of that because you really need then low, for instance, on average, a significant lower revenue, which is not the case for us. However, the facilities are in place. We are not using them, and I do not foresee that we will use them in the near future. And just to give you an example, when the lockdowns started, we were quite worried about the Netherlands because we also have a big operations here in the Netherlands in the dry infrastructure, around 1,000 people on the payroll. However, in the Netherlands, these activities were never put under the lockdown. And at this moment, we also foresee, or in the Netherlands, we get some new information from our government tomorrow. But we do not foresee any stricter lockdowns that could also hit our infra business. But if that would have happened, yes, we of course would have used also the facilities to more or less you get compensated for 90%, 90% of the salaries for Dutch workers. However, all infra works in the Netherlands are just going on, so revenue has not declined, so we cannot make use of any facilities, and we are very happy with that. Your first question, breach of confidence. Yeah, at this moment, more or less, if you, of course, it will have impact on our result. But as also said, we see that more or less all projects go on, that there are no cancellations, that we are quite busy on our projects, that we have quite a filled order book, so which gives confidence. So if you would ask me today, but again, if you would ask me certain questions 6 weeks ago, then I'll also have given you a different answer. You learn from that. But no, I do not foresee any breach of confidence. Also, if you see the headroom we have there at the moment, full stop.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Steve Ingalls from Allianz. Please ask your question. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Sorry if I missed this. My name is being taken during the question. If you could kind of walk us through, especially on the offshore energy side, what those kind of conversations are like with your customers with regards to, pushing back contracts or cancellations or just, kind of, I realize it's very fluid, but just that, what you'd expect sort of the cadence to be within that order book.
Now, as already said, at the moment, if you look at the offshore energy order book, we have no hard cancellation or no signals of cancellations for work that has been being put in our order book. So on that side, we are quite confident at this moment, today, that this will all be executed. But of course, we see the impact of the oil price decrease. Of course, also, for instance, operators on the North Sea are cutting their OPEX, which of course also will impact us for our diving activities or surveys. However, as we speak for the projects in the portfolio, no cancellations. But of course, for the spot market, where we are also dependent for certain activities on the spot market, we see of course price pressure, and of course we see a volume impact. How this will hit our bottom line is very difficult to say at this moment. But again, the order portfolio in hand is still intact and executed at the moment and also in the coming months and years. And as Oak also said, of offshore energy, 40% is wind related. 2019. So it is not only oil and gas that we are active in offshore energy, but also wind. And at this moment, but again, also the view of today, all wind projects all are executed and are not locked down, are not hit by the lockdown. So also on that side, no cancellations or stop of execution or what have you. And if you ask me about the midterm or long term, today I would ask them for a crystal ball, because for us it's very difficult, of course, how this situation will develop in the mid and the long term. But again, luckily we have an order portfolio in hand for the near term.
Got it, and I appreciate the color there. If we're maybe looking back at past cycles here, can you maybe kind of walk us through your relationship with your customers with regards to, if they were to hit some sort of financial constraints that may push back, or, do you have a lot of flexibility there? Are you able to, in the past, have you maybe, became more or less like a creditor to in that perspective and giving that flexibility, or if you kind of just walk through that relationship?
Steven, just Martin, can you clarify, do you mean flexibility in terms of canceling contracts, rescheduling timing?
Rescheduling timing, so payments, things along those lines.
Again, at this moment, if you look at the whole portfolio, there are no good, because we have a lot of wind projects also in that portfolio, and also our customers have certain deadlines for subsidies and things like that. So you see, at that end, there is also still a contractual perspective that they need us to work on, because there is a deadline at their end to get the subsidy for the wind parks. So, on wind, I don't have a past where we say we have experienced that in the past and we will see this now. No, and I also don't see it happening from, at least not from a cash or OPEX or CAPEX perspective, because the decision has been taken, FID is in place, the money is in place in a special purpose company, there are deadlines there for getting the subsidy from the European countries, so execution has to go on, or of course COVID has to impact the production facilities of jackets or what have you. However, I don't foresee, or CAPEX reduction or OPEX reduction in the purposes, delays that could only for operational reasons. And of course, on the oil and gas side, if I look at the order portfolio, okay, a lot of the work we do in oil and gas is also still spot work. For instance, if you look at our survey services, a lot of that is short term. And of course, we see an impact there. But it is not that it is work in our order portfolio. No, that is just the small pot work we pick up in a normal North Sea season. And of course, you see an impact there that clients we know very well try to delay works until next year or what have you. But that's more or less the same. You also can read in the newsletters that OPEX and CAPEX is delayed where possible. On the other side, also in the North Sea, you see that a lot of operators have already delayed it year by year. And now, you know, they are for legislation reasons, they need to do the certain works. So also these kind of works just have to go on if they want to be productive. So yes, it will impact us, especially on spot market work, I would say.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Matt Hutuf from UNLM. Please ask your question. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the call. Just kind of sticking on the topic of the order book, could you just kind of outline how easy is it for a customer to cancel? Are they required to make any type of payments in order to cancel, or is there a certain time period that they need to provide kind of notice of cancellation of a project to you guys?
Yeah, well, of course, we have a whole portfolio of contracts and in different markets with different clients in different segments in dredging, etc. But of course, if there's a contract in place which counts for our project in our order portfolio, it's not that they can easily just can cancel a project. So it will always cost them money to cancel a project, because there are all kind of cancellation agreements in place and payments that have to be done then. So it's not that the customer can just make a call to us saying, no, I don't need your services anymore. If we have a fixed term contract in place, it's quite hard for the customer to just say, no, I don't need it anymore. But yeah, you cannot just give a general answer on this, because again, this is an whole portfolio of contracts in place.
I think in general, Mark, you know, there is always a cancellation fee, and the size of that is literally, as Carlos says, on a project by project basis. So yes, there is some coverage you get. Obviously, it will never cover your loss of income, which you would have otherwise had. But I think the important point is that, I think, let's say, with the exception of the oil and gas area, and oil and gas, as Carlos says, is falls within contracting and services. On the services side, it's the stuff you pick up during the year, and that's where you feel the pressure. But if you look at the infrastructure works, if you see a project like land reclamation projects in the Middle East and Far East, coastal protection activities around the world, these projects are generally government funded, are permitted, Some of them are already underway. It is extremely rare, and obviously, you know, this is a unique situation which we are currently in. But looking back, we've had some pretty rare events in our industry. But you know, you will generally see clients will continue to do their projects. They may try to slow down, but the size of projects being actually pulled out over the last decade, you know, I think one hand is sufficient to count them on. And then I'm talking about significant projects of more than 10, 15, 20 million.
Okay. Thanks for that. It's helpful.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Nirav Mali from New York Life. Please ask your question. Your line is now open.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Nirav from New York Life. Thank you for the call. One quick question to understand, if you could just refresh our memories of how Boskalis's liability might be with regards to work that takes longer to complete than expected, if there are any penalty clauses or anything like that because of issues with getting people and or assets to where they need to be, given lockdown restrictions and so on. Are there any penalties you guys are exposed to? What kind of force majeure provisions are there in contracts? Sort of any commentary around that would be really useful. Thank you.
Of course, these provisions like force majeure, of course, notices have been sent out just to be sure. So these things are in place. Just funny to know is that you see with new contracts they now exclude COVID-19 or 20 from the force majeure. So yes, on all the projects pre-COVID, you have general force majeure protection. However, also here it is also project by project that you have, of course, the contract details where you come into a discussion if they are there, if you are late, etc. At the moment, this is not yet an issue. Again, we are executing. We are also in Europe. We are already doing some crew changes. So also there, you see that we find ways also to change crews. Having said this, yes, the coming months will show if we can also do that for all the exotic places we are on in this world. As I said in the beginning of my answer, of course we have force majeure like clauses which should protect you against those events. But that will always bring discussions, of course, contractual discussions, because some clients will say, but this is something different. And then you have a lot of lawyers working on that. But, provisions are there in the contract.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we have one further question from Cecil Michel. But before we are taking that one, may I ask you to press star and one if you still want to ask a question. And Cecil, your line is now open. Please ask your question.
Thank you. I had one follow-up question on the, is there any update on the provision that you incurred in the first semester of 19 on the WIN customer, and if the current COVID situation has exacerbated the behavior of your customer in this division and more globally on the other divisions? Thank you.
You mean on the provision in the first half year on the decommissioning and cable works? As per end of year, this is stable. So we are still working on it, and we see some progression in 2020. So that helps. But end of 2019, that is quite stable. So no recoveries on in the result or in the cash at that moment.
For the better or for the worse?
Yeah, we will see.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Jeff Atwood. Please ask your question. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and very much appreciate the update calls every 6 months. It's very helpful. I may have missed this answer while getting in queue regarding the disputed contracts of last year leading to the charge. I believe maybe it was 18, not 19, for the $82 million or whatever, and I was curious how that's played out.
You mean the provisions, more or less the same question as Cecile asked, yeah. We made a provision in H1, and as just answered to the previous question, the end of 2019, no major changes there, meaning that because we of course communicated, mentioned that we expect to recover part of it. Yes, we are still working on some projects to complete variation orders and claims, and I believe we still believe that we will partly recover that, and hopefully this will also be the case in 2020. By the end of 2019, no significant recovery yet. However, we are still confident to do a part of that recovery, and hopefully in 2020.
Thank you. And then going back to the force majeure situation, is that available for both you and the customer?
You probably are not surprised that in after all the lockdowns, a lot of force majeure notices are sent by everybody. Just to be sure that if the situation comes worse, that you can always say there is a force majeure. So yes, it's in some cases both sides that will give that notice, just to be sure if things go wrong that you have a first, you know, contractual hook to start. But yeah, these are of course, you know, unprecedented circumstances, and we will see, but not only Boskalis, but the whole industry, I believe, all industrial conglomerates see how this will play out. But you can be sure that, again, not only Boskalis, but the whole world has sent notices on force majeure, because this has never been, of course, included in this detail. In any of, or not in our contracts at least, that you have such a situation we have at hand at the moment.
So are these notices just that, notices that this could occur, or notices that someone is actually calling that out to break a contract?
No, not calling a contract. Just a notice, just to what we also did, just to be sure, also to our contractors, so the people that develop vessels or what have you for us, so that we say that you have a notice in place where you say if things happen, then we have already a hook that we notified you about COVID-19. So, but no cancellations in place, absolutely not.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. And I know you mentioned that you had good working capital management in 19. And I was curious how that's working now and what actions have you been taking to keep that positive?
Just to mention one important one is that we had a monthly cash flow forecast. With the beginning of COVID-19, we changed the weekly cash flow forecast. And you see that the whole culture and how people question each other, of course, it's strange to say, but it helps if you have a crisis like COVID hanging above you, that you get the right focus. So as a CFO, you could even be happy that cash and working capital gets so much attention that on a daily, weekly basis, people are questioning each other on working capital. Should we pay or not, maybe pay or not, should we not now, etc. So you see that boosted by this development, you get a lot of attention. And as always, Tony said at the top, and we do that also within our board. So within our board, this has highest priority, which also means that it gets highest priority in the rest of the organization, which falls then follows then naturally. So on a weekly basis, we follow our group cash, and I believe everybody is fully focused on getting cash in and not paying too early to our contractors. So yes, this has full focus.
Okay, and last question for me is you presentations that 60% of the business is contracting and 40% is services. Could you also break that down from, like, what are the lump sum type contracts versus cost plus type contracts?
No, these kind of details I have not at hand at the moment, but if I just think loudly, if you look at offshore energy and then at the contracting side, then...
Majority is fixed.
Yeah, majority is fixed. I fully agree with that, yeah.
Service is generally more cost plus, Jeff, and it's on the contracting by implication. There is a contract in where we have scoped the bill of quantity, the works, and there is a fixed price, and there can be escalation clauses for pluses and minuses, but generally that is a fixed lump sum.
Okay, so 40% though of the services, like the spot services, are really cost plus.
Yeah, or negotiated therefore on a short-term basis. As Carlos said earlier, a good example of a spot, I would say more of a service, but it's short-term, and therefore you could argue spot, is our survey activities. And survey activities are priced according to what is the market prepared to pay, and the market 12 months ago was a different one to what it is today. And that's where you do feel the pressure of pricing.
Okay. Again, thank you very much for having these calls. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at the moment, but if you still wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad.
Always the risk of saying, trying to draw the call to a close, then there's generally a last question, but if there isn't, I'd like to thank everyone on behalf of the team here in the Netherlands for everyone dialing in today. I have realized that if you want to ask a question, you have to actually physically step out of the call, so we will change that for future calls, that you can just ask your question without having to register your name. Thank you, everyone. We'll be sharing the playback with everyone. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to one of us whenever. And otherwise, we look forward to a follow-up call after the half-year numbers. And we wish everyone a healthy and hopefully a rapidly post-COVID-19 world again, where things can return to some kind of a new normal reality. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.